Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald on Fubar Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Politics Uncensored with me, Ali Milani.
And me, Zoe Grunewald.
Coming up, a rather different show for you today.
That's right, it's our Christmas special, and so we've put together an award ceremony. Six categories, countless nominations. Who's going to win the biggest political award ceremony on Fubar Radio? Let's find out.
As always, you can find us at Politics Uncensored on social media. Let's get started.
Most impactful policy.
The government has confirmed this afternoon, just a few minutes ago, that it has offered the junior doctors an average uplift of 22.3%.
Which part, okay, do you know how many people pay inheritance tax in this country?
It's 4% of estates.
After this becomes law, 96% of farmers will.
Where have you got that figure from? Where have you got the 96% figure from?
Well, you've got 96%. Yeah. Well, the same place that Rachel Reeves does.
The bill is really strict in terms of the safeguards that have been put in place. So two doctors would have to be involved in the process and it would have to be signed off by a High Court judge. That's the only bill in the world that has those three layers of scrutiny.
On track for a fundamental change in the way the train system is run. Labour vowing to reverse 30 years of private ownership.
Fubar Radio.
Well, the nominees, as you just heard, are the BMA pay agreement ending the strikes, the assisted dying bill, the farmer tax loophole, and renationalising the railways. Okay, there's some pretty impactful policies there. Let's discuss this again, Ali, and we'll come up with our winner. What are you thinking?
Can I just start off by saying, so 2024 had 6 or 7 months of Conservative government and now we're about six months in to a Labour government, and there's not one Conservative policy.
That is shocking to me, because they did so much, right? Yeah.
What was it? Something about smoking they did, and then they tried to bring in national service again, and that didn't pan out. So, sorry, Rishi, we just couldn't come up with something you did. Initially, straight off the bat, when I was listening to those, I think Jeremy Clarkson making a fool of himself at the farmer strikes, I particularly enjoyed. In terms of impacts, I think the BMA pay agreement isn't spoken about enough, because I think people forget how many months we went through with strikes all across the NHS and the impact that that had. And the Labour government dealt with that fairly quickly when they came in. And I said it on the show at the time, I don't think they made enough of a song and dance about the fact that they ended the junior doctor strike specifically, and the impact that that will have had on the NHS.
So while I agree with you, there was news this week that doctors are potentially considering striking again.
Yeah, and because, consultants as
yes,
well.
Yes,
yeah,
because of their new pay offer.
Yeah.
So as much as I think that it was great that Labour sorted that out very quickly, I have a feeling this one isn't over.
Yeah, it's going to unravel.
Let's talk about the farmer tax. Again, there's definitely been a lot of uproar about this.
Yeah, the tractors were back in Westminster the other day.
I don't want to give it most impactful policy, because I feel like that gives Jeremy Clarkson what he wants.
Yeah.
Which is a suggestion that it's going to...
We've gone
fundamentally
both ways with impactful, haven't we? Like, it's not just a positive thing. Impact is just... It's had an impact.
Yes. So, it's had an impact on public conversation.
Did you see the tractors in Westminster?
I did, yes.
They look very expensive and very clean. I don't want to say farmers are rich, but they look like very expensive tractors, and they look very well maintained. I am considering buying Farming Simulator 25 on my MacBook to play as a sort of reach out to farmers. I'm looking to my producers for validation.
Is he shaking his head?
No, he's nodding. He thinks this is a way to connect to the farmers. So farmers, I'll know what you feel like by 2025, because I'll play Farming Simulator.
I'm not going to vote for farmer tax loophole, because I feel like it's been massively overblown, and therefore voting it as most impactful.
We don't want to give them.
Yeah, because I think that too many farmers have been led to believe this is going to affect them. When
we did a whole show on it, by the way, and I'm still not very clear as to what their beef
is. And this is the other thing:
their beef is. Anyway,
we're not that clear.
Jonah?
And they've got 10 years to pay back to pay off their inheritance.
And it's £3 million.
So
give it a rest.
Assisted dying. This is huge. But it's
not happened.
Done yet.
It's not happened yet. Yeah. But it is. I didn't expect it would go through. Did you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You did,
but only just.
Yeah.
I was not certain the whole way.
Do we know what is your sense at this? I mean, it's very early, but
because it was second reading, I have a feeling that a lot of MPs voted because on principle they agree with assisted dying, and they're hoping to either amend it or they might withdraw their vote at committee stage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for renationalising the railways.
Oh, there we go. Tell us why.
Because I think that is a big thing. I think that is going to make a difference, and I think, you know, it's something that will feel very, it will be seen as part of Labour's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the railways have been appalling. I'm not saying the renationalisation bill is going to make a world of difference to railway users straight away, but I think it is definitely on track to the right thing, because why is a public good in the hands of private shareholders?
We're also just getting mugged off, by the way.
Yeah.
If you go anywhere in Europe and use their railways, Germany, France, anywhere, you'll see they're paying a fraction of the cost that we are, a much better service, more frequently on time. And yet, I think, again, up to Manchester, as I always say, and back, costs near enough £200. It's always late, it's always delayed, and then you have to sit outside of a toilet for 2.5 hours.
Mm.
So I see what you're saying. I think I'm going to go assist the dying bill. I know it hasn't happened yet, but I think it passing has significantly shifted the debate. For example, just this morning on the BBC homepage, there's a whole story about the Canadian, how many people out of total deaths in Canada as a result of assisted dying. And I think it's just exploded the debate in this country in terms of where we sit in regards to assisted dying, euthanasia, assisted suicide, whatever the policy is and whatever you think. So I think in terms of impact on political discourse and discussion, I think the assisted dying has had the biggest impact. But I'm happy to acquiesce to the renationalising the railways.
Well, our producer just reminded me in my ear that that bill hasn't passed either yet. But but I think it's slightly more like, well, it's more likely to pass than...
I mean, the renationalising bill will pass because it's it's Labour Party policy and
but in terms of public conversation,
so I think one will have more tangible impacts in terms of material difference in the pockets of Britain's travelling, and the other one is more of a discussion because I'm not sure it'll go through. On the two, you go to renationalising the railway.
I
agree. Okay. Let's give it to renationalise. Is there like drums that we play?
Or like a big woo.
Woo, okay.
Yeah, clap. Clap.
No, hang on, I've got tinsel.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Clap, Ali.
Oh. Hey. So the most impactful policy goes to the renationalising the railways bill.
Okay, coming up after the break, more awards. That's next on Politics Uncensored.
Fubar Radio.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the truth. And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
It's Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald with Politics Uncensored. Fubar Radio.
You're listening to this very special Christmas show episode of Politics Uncensored with me, Ali Milani.
And me, Zoe Grunewald. Okay, now Ali is sorted and ready to go live.
I really struggled with my hat.
We're going to hear the next award.
Political meme of the year.
She would give us a hard time sometimes and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
That was such good fun.
Great job. Thank you.
Great. Hope you enjoy that.
He looks, in short, like one used to think men ought to look like. You're the Minister for Man. What do you think?
This is objectification. This week in the Metro, an article by a female journalist where she called him Daddy Downing Street. Now,
hot Daddy Downing Street.
I think there's a line where... I don't think modern women sometimes realise that there's a line between crushing and creepy.
Fubar Radio.
Before we get into it, as a modern woman, I want your reaction
on Daddy Downing Street. Oh, we'll get to it. Trust me. Okay. The nominees, as you just heard, are Kamala Harris's Coconut Tree, Donald Trump, They're Eating the Dogs, Ed Davey,
and the cats,
Water Skiing, which you might have missed because it's quite hard to show what was happening there, and Keir Starmer, that was being called Daddy Downing Street. Okay, Ali, some tough ones here. Let's discuss and come up with our winner. What are you thinking?
I need to know what you think as a modern woman about Daddy Downing Street. We can't continue until you address this critical issue.
Okay.
Was that guy being serious in the audio, by the way?
Obviously. I don't know where it was from, but yes, presumably.
He needs to get a grip.
I know. So, okay, look, I bet Keir Starmer liked being called Daddy Downing Street.
I bet he loved it.
It's obviously...
He's also the type of guy who never in his life has he been called something like Daddy Downing Street.
No, and you know, look, when Keir Starmer was younger, there were rumours
that
Mark Darcy from Bridget Jones, which is a bit of a Christmassy film,
a Christmassy
ending, was based on him because he was a human rights lawyer in the chambers like Mark Darcy. And, you know, Keir Starmer was a good-looking young man.
I think whoever wrote the script, screenplay, story, I think they were based around North London at the time,
if
I'm not wrong.
I think it has been debunked.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
let's choose to believe it.
Yeah. So, look, I don't mind. I personally won't be calling him Daddy Downing Street.
No.
But I don't object to that being used.
I think it was a horrifying picture when I first saw it, but objectifying and modern women not understanding whatever that fella said, I think he needs to get a life.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Coke.
But I am forever scarred having seen that and heard that. I want that known. I'm never going to forget that. That's part of my life now.
Okay, Coconut Tree.
Why is Kamala Harris like this? Do you know she went through that? Do you know she went through that whole campaign where she was using that term? What was it? Unburdened by what has been, something like that. She kept reusing that phrase. It never banged. At any point did she get massive applause? As she kept going, to a certain extent, I admire her tenacity to keep going on with these lines even when they have no reaction. But I have enjoyed the plethora of memes on social media on the coconut tree. But the bit I love about that clip, if we can listen, well, we won't listen back to it now, but if folks go back, and she loves her own jokes. Mm. So she cracks up at herself.
This is what I liked about her. I love someone who's
not insecure about other people not laughing.
And especially women laughing at their own jokes. Yeah, I think it's great. We should see more of it.
Yeah.
And it was so iconic. It got remixed all over TikTok into Charlie XCX songs, obviously, because she said Kamala Harris was brat. So you had 360 by Charlie XCX had the words coconut tree in. It was really good, actually. So that was a great
also
meme.
By the way, rumors from the other side of the Atlantic, she's not done. She might run at the next presidential election, certainly in the primaries for the Democratic candidate. So we'll see more of her funny jokes to come.
Okay. They're eating the dogs.
Again, this is another one I'm scarred at. I remember watching this. Anyone who follows me on social media will know I love my cat more than anything in the world. Also my wife. But
important clarification.
I'm in big trouble. Yeah. She's not listening. It's okay. This scarred me.
Yeah.
But equally, some of the memes that people have created in hindsight are absolutely hilarious.
Because he said it was in Springfield, Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Where the Simpsons is Springfield. Even,
yes, yeah, yeah.
So there were lots of great memes of
Simpsons. I didn't even connect that that's why the memes were from he's just, there's something wrong with him.
Well, do you know what? Yes, you're right. But he is the president-elect. You know, when you and I come back in the new year.
Do you think he planned that? Do you think they sat in a, like, you know, when they prep for these. Mm. Do you think that someone said we should bring up people eating cats and dogs?
Yes. Because people were saying that on social media before the debate. That was a thing that was going around on social media.
I'm kind of speechless.
The thing is, it was obviously, it's funny, but it's not funny because what he is doing is repeating an incredibly racist.
It's about Haitians, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say trope because I don't even think it is a trope. Yeah, it's just complete outright dog whistle. Not even dog whistle, it's just racism.
Dogs and cats whistles.
Yeah. So, okay, Ed Davey water skiing.
He just looked like he had a great time. I love that. Ed Davey went through the whole campaign just enjoying himself. He raised a couple of important issues, but didn't really speak about policy. And then he got the best result for the Lib Dems in like a generation.
I'm going to say this was so confected. Like all the falling over, it was just so fake.
He was having a great time.
I'm glad he was having fun, but like, whoa. Yeah. It was just so like, you know, it was so clear what he was doing. But call me cynical.
It worked. But I guess, did it work or did the Tories just hand it to him?
You can say it did work, but the Lib Dems are always going to steal, you know, disaffected Tory votes. Yeah. All Ed Davey did
was
turn up and smile.
So you don't think anyone voted because he was water skiing? Oh, I'm being stabbed?
No, but I think it was good for his recognition, right? They got him all over the BBC.
Okay, so which one are you going for? Unless
I'm going to go with coconut tree because I think it really was the biggest political meme of the year and I think it's the most harmless because obviously Donald Trump's is funny, but it's harmful. Ed Davey's was confected and Keir Starmer's was disturbing. So I'm going to go for coconut tree.
I was leaning towards their eating the cats and the dogs because it affected me on a personal level so deeply. Daddy Downing Street is probably up there, but let's just not talk about that. Can we agree from this moment on that won't come up again on the show?
I can't agree with that.
I'm happy to give it to Kamala Harris's coconut tree, and I'm sure the coconut tree will make further appearances as we run through. I mean, I don't know if we'll still be here by the next presidential elections, but I'm happy to give it to Kamala Harris's coconut tree. Should we do that?
I think so. I think that's fair. It was very memeable. You know, it's so ridiculous. Like, why did she say that? Why did she laugh? Then she completely changed tone halfway through.
Why did she say anything?
It was amazing. So, okay.
Are we going to give it to...
And let's do honourable mention for they're eating the dogs.
They're eating the cats.
And cats.
Do we have to clap again?
Yes. To Kamala Harris's coconut tree. With honourable mention to Donald Trump, they're eating the dogs.
By the way, we're so fucked, like, generally.
Yeah, we know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, just in general. You guys love him, but we're fucked, aren't we?
Happy Christmas, everyone. Okay, let's... new award. Let's hear it.
biggest political shock.
Frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country, and maybe beyond.
Let's bring you some breaking news just coming to us here at Sky Centre that Alex Salmond, the former First Minister of Scotland, has died, according to the Press Association.
And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened. Oh.
In Moscow, there was an extraordinary sight. The symbol of the very forces Russia's been trying to destroy in Syria, hoisted above its embassy.
FUPAR Radio.
OK, so these are the nominees for biggest political shock. Donald Trump's victory in the US presidential election. Alex Salmond's death. Donald Trump's assassination attempt. And Assad overthrown in Syria. OK, Ali, let's discuss these.
Well, we're going to start. Donald Trump first, the sort of comeback victory of all victories.
Yeah, let's do the victory first.
The reason that this is a political shot, I think people might think this isn't a political shot because I think by polling day, he was probably the favourite just about to win. So people might be wondering why this is a political shock. Well, once he lost to Biden in his re-election, I think we have to remember how far away he was from the prospect of winning, given he had all these charges against him. Yeah. He'd been a convicted felon. His own vice president turned against him. His own ex-advisors turned against him. His secretary, former secretaries. So everything in a traditional political sort of wargaming or political planning sense, he was finished, given all of that against him. And yet, here we are years later, with a pretty landslide victory from an electoral college perspective. So I think it was a big political shock. If you had told me back, you know, at the depths of it, when he had just been convicted of a felony, when Pence was speaking out against him and all the others were speaking out against him, and he was getting the primary seemed to have thrown up a few conventional conservatives who might have done well otherwise. If you'd told me he would get a landslide victory against a Democratic candidate that wasn't Joe Biden, I wouldn't have believed you. So no. I think that's a pretty big political shock.
Yeah, and I think there was a real bump in the Democrats' campaign when Kamala took over that sort of said, you know, we're going to win.
Yeah.
There's no way Trump's going to win. And the shock mainly, you know, maybe it's not Donald Trump's victory, more how much the American landscape has changed, like, since 2008.
Yeah, you know? I also think, I don't know if you agree with this, I think it's had a significant impact on the world in terms of... since Trump has won, I feel like some of the sort of far right, more extreme voices feel validated and have come out of the woodwork now. I mean, look at the UK. Look at how much some British politicians are trying to emulate Donald Trump. Now, what's that fella? I see him on Twitter all the time. The reform peddler. His name is Rupert something.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Rupert Lowe.
Yeah, Lowe is correct. He's doing such a pound shop Donald Trump impersonation on Twitter now, and I don't think he does that if Donald Trump doesn't have this comeback and win. So
and also,
he's had far-reaching effects, even here in the UK.
It's also massively bolstered reform's chances, right? And it's probably changed the nature of our relationship with big tech. You know,
yeah.
Elon Musk prodding and poking at Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
When you talk about shock, you know, the shock waves are big. Okay, Alex Salmond's death.
Yeah, I think that was a huge shock. I mean, I don't know if anyone thought... I think he died of
heart
attack.
Did we even talk about it on the show?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay,
we definitely did.
Right,
yeah. But, I mean, he wasn't ill. It was just... The shock was... It kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was a big shock. But this is... I don't even... Like, in terms... Like, compared to Donald Trump's victory, compared to Donald Trump's assassination attempt, you know, compared to the regime in Syria falling...
Yeah, I mean, and it's probably bottom of the list, but, I mean, we I don't think we should forget the impact Alex Salmond had in the UK. He was one... He's, like, seen as one of the fathers of the independence movement in Scotland.
Yeah.
Ultimately, wasn't successful... but he was a huge power broker before he broke off with Alba, which was relatively unsuccessful, I think. He was a huge player, so...
And he has a checkered history, doesn't he? I mean, he's slightly consigned to...
Yeah, he was under investigation at the time, wasn't
he? Yes, and he there's a difficult... he's definitely fundamentally changed the landscape of Scottish politics, the independence movement, and his death was unexpected. I don't think there was any feeling that he was sick. He died quite suddenly.
But we also should... I don't think we also need to whitewash his history either, in terms of he was under investigation for some serious allegations at the time, and the victims deserve, I think... at least for their stories and voices not to be forgotten either. So I think that's important. Okay. The assassination attempt?
Yes. I mean, for me, this was a big political shock. Yeah. I remember I was doing Sky Breakfast that morning and everything changed.
I was watching the rally live as it was happening.
It was crazy. Is it surprising that somebody tried to attempt to take Donald Trump's life? No.
Yeah.
But... it's surprising for it to be live streamed.
Can I tell you, by the way, I don't know if this is a far right sort of conspiracy, so I sincerely apologise if this is true, but just before I came on air, I saw a story that apparently the Secret Service agent that initially saw the shooter on the roof opposite Donald Trump tried to shoot him 5 times and missed from, I think, like 10 feet away.
I don't know.
How do you miss 5 shots?
Yeah, if that's true, that's crazy. But also,
this is the moment he won the election for me.
And the fact that the shot went so close to his head.
And he turned his head just at the right time.
Everything could have just such a butterfly effect.
This is the butterfly effect moment, yeah.
Okay.
But by the way, to his communications credit, I never want to give Donald Trump any sort of moral or ethical credit, but to his communication credit, the fact that in that moment he thought to give the world a sort of valiant image, because he gets swamped by the Secret Service agent, and he's an entertainer above all else. This is why other traditional politicians struggle with him, because he knows how TV works. He's a reality TV star. So even in the moment where his life was in danger and he'd just been shot in the air, he thought to get up and give an image to the American people. And I think that image of him putting up his fist as blood is draining down his face with the American flag in the background is going to be, whether you like it or not, one of the images of American history.
Yeah.
And it's probably the moment that he won the election. So it was hugely shocking.
Yeah. Okay. Assad overthrown in Syria. This is obviously a very recent political shock, but it's huge. I mean, the regime was so... hollowed out, it crumbled in 2 weeks or something. It was crazy.
For me, this is the one in terms of the biggest shock, because even the US State Department said they didn't anticipate that, and their intelligence services didn't anticipate it. Considering the bloodiness of the civil war and the tyrannical and bloodthirsty nature of the Assad regime, for it to have fallen so easily and so quickly, and for the rebels to go from Aleppo to Damascus in the matter of a week, I think is hugely, hugely shocking, impactful. The speed at which it happened, the implication for the Middle East now, another tyrant has fallen. What is the future going to look like? Is it going to go the way of Egypt, for example?
And of course, everything that's coming out of Syria now. Yeah. So all the pictures of these morgues, these mass prisons, you know, the real scale of the tyranny and the violence and the oppression that was evident in his regime. You know, we're going to see all that. So it's incredibly shocking in many different ways.
If we're going unexpected in terms of shocking rather than sort of clutch pearls, I think the Assad one is the most unexpected, because you can... assassination attempts have happened before. People have died before. Donald Trump's victory, some people predicted, nobody predicted Assad was going to be overthrown in a matter of 2 weeks. So that's the one I'm going to go with. Which one would you go with?
For balance, I'm going to go for Donald Trump's victory. Because just for the sort of the shockwaves and the impact it's going to have around the rest of the world. But I'm willing to compromise with you and go with Assad being overthrown, because, as you say, in terms of nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
That's a real shock.
So do we do the clap?
But let's not clap Assad.
No, you're clapping him. Defeated.
I'm just thinking of how to say it. Yes, okay, okay.
Assad being defeated and overthrown in Syria. Wherever you're hiding in Moscow, you waste man.
Honourable mention to Donald Trump's victory.
And wherever you are in Mar-a-Lago, I know he listens. the Donald, Merry Christmas, mate.
Okay, coming up, even more awards. That's right, but that's coming up next on Politics Uncensored.
FUPAR Radio. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the truth. And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
Politics Uncensored on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to this very special Christmas awards show episode of Politics Uncensored with me, Ali Milani.
And me, Zoe Grunewald. Okay, on to the next award.
Gaffe of the Year.
And now I want to hand it over to the President of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You can beat President Putin. President Zelensky.
I call again for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The return of the sausages. The hostages.
As I said, the itinerary for these events was set weeks ago before the general election campaign. I participated in events both in Portsmouth and in France, and having fully participated in all the British events with British veterans, I returned home before the International Leaders event. That was a mistake, and I apologise.
The implosion of the Conservatives and the SNP has put wind in Labour's sails. But the only reason we've got sails on the ship, and the ship is shipshape, is because Keir Starmer took the vessel from the shipwreck in 2019, rebuilt it, and made it ship shape and seaworthy again.
Now, I don't actually believe that these Islamists have got control of our country, but what I do believe is they've got control of Khan, and they've got control of London, and they've got control of Storm as well.
FUBAR Radio.
Wow, there are some absolute corkers in there. That's
you know,
so
I hadn't
good.
Heard the West Streeting one until just now.
Really?
That's
it's
the first
awful.
Time I've heard it
was on election night.
I bet he thought it was such a good look.
I don't know what was going on. He should have stopped talking. Okay, let's start with my favourite, President Putin.
How do you do that? It's so bad. Because you couldn't have
mixed up two worst people to mix up.
If you told me, Ali, right, you got a week until next week's show to come up with the worst gaffe a politician can make, I wouldn't have been able to come up with one as bad as that.
That one was really, really... And the only reason he got away with it is because he is old and doddery and eventually stepped down.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, the only reason he got away with it was because you knew he was...
Because only someone who was not well would probably make...
What did you think of the... We're going to beat President Putin.
Yeah, President Putin. We're going to beat President Putin. Well, I mean, what else can you say? You know, because he's trying to basically explain why President Putin was on his mind.
Yeah.
Because Zelensky's going to beat President Putin.
Yes, of course.
I think he also... Didn't he also refer to Trump as his vice president as well? Or there was some...
There are so many.
There was something else.
In that very press conference.
He referred to Trump as his vice president. Yeah. So I was listening in an Uber on the way home after drinks with friends or colleagues or something.
Did you think you had too many drinks?
Well, me and the Uber driver were like, what is happening? Someone take this man off the stage. He kept saying stupid things. Okay, President Putin. There's not much more to say about that. It was crazy. Return of the sausages.
How does that happen? I'm going to keep asking this question about a lot of these. How does that happen? Do you think he was hungry? It was like midday, wasn't it? Do you think sausages were on his mind?
You couldn't have picked a worse food stuff.
By the way, a lot of these things, we recognise these are serious issues.
Yeah.
The gaffe is what's the funny, gaffe is not funny. The issue. Do you think sausages were on his mind?
I think he was hungry. It was quite... Was his speech early?
Yeah, it was around midday, like 1 o'clock,
well,
I think.
No, he should have eaten, so that rules that out. I think maybe he had already said it and was told not to say it and couldn't not think about
it. Liz Truss's kipper thing? What was it? The fish, and she had that in her speech from Tory party conference. Was it Liz Truss?
I don't remember. Okay,
it's just food related.
Sunak, this was bad. This was really bad. And the reason it was so bad is because it went on for so long.
Yeah.
I realised listening back, I haven't missed his voice.
No, it's really annoying. No one misses Rishi Sunak.
But it was...
Most of all, Rishi Sunak.
It showed how unable he was to apologise. Say I've got something wrong.
Of all of them, or maybe not all of them, because... Lee Anderson is... Whenever Lee Anderson is included, he's in a box all of his own. But of the ones we've already discussed, Joe Biden, he's not well. He's an old man. He should be in a care home. Mm. So you kind of forgive him. Keir Starmer, he either was hungry or got mixed up. He was just talking about...
And he did a long speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunak, this was a conscious decision made by more than one person. And he managed in the middle of it... This was in the middle of the election campaign, right?
Yeah.
To... piss off everybody and then deal with it so horrendously that it went on for days. So in terms of incompetence, this is number one.
When your biggest worry is trying to fight off reform voters, why are you skipping out on D-Day commemorations? Wes Streeting's ship shape analogy.
That was the first time I heard it. It was so bad.
Yeah, it went on far too long. I mean, we've all been there, and especially when you're doing like a broadcast thing and you lose track of what you're saying, it can be very anxiety-inducing to know you're not getting back on track.
Yeah.
But he should have just stopped. Yeah.
Do you know what? It sounded like he thought he had a banger there.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got a banger here. And then it wasn't connecting, and he kept trying when he should have quit while he was ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't sound good. And then, finally we're on to Lee Anderson.
30p Lee.
Saying that Sadiq Khan is controlled by Islamists.
Can I say something about Lee Anderson?
Please.
I promise I'm not picking a fight, right? I think we've gotten to a stage in political discourse in the West where we kind of sneer at intelligence.
Mm.
We think that the way to be the sort of common man... is to not sound intelligent, which I don't think that's true, because I think the common man and woman are very intelligent and the British public are more intelligent than people give them credit to. Lee Anderson is the epitome of stupid politician, in my view.
Mm.
He sounds like the idiot in the corner of the pub who thinks the moon doesn't exist and we didn't land on it and JFK was killed by X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
And we've just picked that person up and put them in Westminster. I think it says something about where we are in our politics that someone so utterly stupid is sat in number 10, and not number 10, in Westminster and has such prominence and has such a voice.
Do you know what he said this week that everyone's laughing? The week that has been. He said that a woman tweeted or X'd or whatever. Women have to deal with periods.
Oh my god! I saw this. Yeah.
You know, the menopause or something every day. What do men have to deal with? And he replied saying, "The Battle of the Somme."
Yeah, because he was there.
Lee Anderson, did you fight in the Battle of the Somme?
Yeah. Have you seen the memes?
Yeah, yes, they're very good. But he thinks this is some amazing clapback. Yeah. Like, oh well, you know, when was the Battle of the Somme? Anyone? Oof,
couldn't tell.
Years and years
Wait,
and years
we're about
ago.
To be told. No.
No, my producer tells me it's 1916 or 1917.
Oh, so that's about when his views were relevant.
Yeah. So the idea that, yes, OK, you might deal with periods every day and hormone fluctuation and all these things that women have to deal with. But, you know, over 100 years ago, a group of men that I don't know had to fight in the Battle of the Somme, so I win. It's no logical argument.
But this is my problem with Lee Anderson. He is that sort of kind of tipsy drunk guy in the corner of the pub who's saying a bunch of stupid things, and somehow that's kind of been PR'd as what the common person thinks in the UK. Well, that's what he presents it as, and it's just so insulting to British people, I think, thinking that is what our norm is. He's just an idiot. But also, this specific one is just outright racist.
Yes, it was a gaffe, but it was just racism. Yeah. It doesn't deserve
gaffe of the year. Yes,
the jovialness of the gaffe. Yeah, okay, so I'm going to give the gaffe to President Putin.
I'm going to give it to Keir Starmer's Return of the Sausages.
Okay.
I just feel so bad for Biden. Like, someone just wrap him up in cotton wool, put him in a corner, give him some eggnog for Christmas. You don't know how many more he's got left in him. Okay. Leave him alone. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to stand firm on President Putin, though. Do you want? Shall we diverge?
No, let's continue our tradition of clapping the same thing.
Okay.
Let's give it to Joe because we don't know how many Christmases Joe's got left.
And he does it. Look, he has to win something.
He's got to win something.
This year.
He's had a rough little time.
Okay.
So are we going to clap?
Yeah, gaffe of the year goes to Joe Biden, President Putin. An honourable mention for Keir Starmer, Return of the Sausages. Okay. Great. Let's hear our final award.
Political Hero of the Year. Gisèle Pelicot. For her incredible show of public strength during the rape trial of her husband and her other accused rapists. The Southport community for helping to rebuild following the summer far-right riots. Alan Bates for his steadfast commitment to justice for the victims of the Post Office Horizon scandal. Elon Musk for his role in helping President-elect Donald Trump win the US election. Sir Keir Starmer for winning Labour's first general election victory in almost 15 years. Foo Bar Radio.
She has a great voice.
Wonderful. You know, I asked this in the WhatsApp group, which you'll know. There are people whose job it is to just read things and sound so elegant, and I wish I had that job.
You know, that is sort of our job, it's sort of my job when I present, when I have to read off the script and I always mess it up.
Would you take that job of just people sending you things to read?
Again, Jake just informed me that was AI, so
maybe we're
about to be
this
replaced.
This is the new world.
Okay, let's talk through these, but there's some really, actually...
Oh, I'm in trouble. My wife's texted me during the show, she was listening. Guys, I'm in trouble.
Okay, right. Gisèle Pelicot, for her strength following the rape trial of her husband and her rapist. Obviously, this is the woman in France who has taken her husband to trial after she found out that he had been assaulting her and bringing in tens of other men, so many other men from the region around her to also sexually assault her. And she waived her anonymity so that she could, as she said, put the shame on him. The shame becomes him, it's not hers. I think she is an extraordinary woman. I think she could win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh yes,
I think she should.
The
service she's done for victims of rape is extraordinary, and you know, revealing how these men operate, it's been an extraordinarily tragic story, but so much strength in her.
Yeah, and I think, isn't that like the very definition of courage?
Yeah,
is that, you know, it's a decision that most people would find really difficult to make, but you make it in spite of all those challenges. I think it's amazing, and I think you're definitely right. She would be well in for a shout for the Nobel Prize. Yeah,
The Southport community. So obviously they rebuilt after the far right riots, despite the far right's attempt to capitalise and to sow division. afterwards. And, you know, there were some really amazing stories of what they did, of them, you know, patching up their communities. I mean, what do you think of this?
Look, first, so the Southport riots, I think, and the riots in general that happened were, I think, the lid being lifted on some of the undercurrents of what was going on in Britain. We had ignored the elements of the impact of some of the media narratives, the political narratives, the strategy of division in the country so much that we saw it explode. But equally, I think that image of different communities, different ethnic backgrounds, different cultures all together rebuilding the mosque, I think was such a powerful image at the time in reminding that our country isn't just dominated by the likes of Lee Anderson and the sort of the likes of GB News and other things, that there is more to us than that.
This community,
I think, was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Alan Bates, so obviously he was the sort of chief campaigner in trying to get justice for the victims of the Post Office Horizon scandal. If you watch the ITV drama, he was the sort of the main guy in that as well. Played by, I've forgotten his name now, but I'm sure someone, Toby Jones,
I think.
But amazing man. You know, I saw him when I was reporting in Parliament earlier this year. Yeah. You know, I was following him from select committee to select committee, and he's a fantastic campaigner.
And I think the Post Office scandal is one of the greatest injustices our country has seen in my generation.
But it also opened up, you know, his campaigning. Not only did it bring justice and hopefully compensation for victims of the Post Office scandal, but also for other victims of these mass scandals. So we had the infected blood scandal.
Yes. Yeah.
We're talking a lot about the nuclear test veterans scandal, which perhaps we'll talk about on the programme next year.
And that's
Windrush, of course.
That's another part of that hero thing that we're talking about, isn't just the courage of doing something, but the sort of resilience and tenacity to keep going in the face of all of it.
Yes.
So I think that's huge.
Yes, I agree. Okay, Elon Musk for helping Donald Trump win the US election. I think this one's a bit cheeky because really Elon Musk shouldn't have helped Donald Trump win the US election, should he? But
you know Elon's got this thing of, I used to be a Democrat.
Are you trying to pick a fight?
I tried this earlier, he didn't bite. So it's not going to work. But you know he does that thing, doesn't he? I'm a traditional moderate Democrat. They've gone to the extreme. They've gone woke, that sort of nonsense. This week he tweeted something essentially saying, people often use the term homeless. What they should be saying is people who have drug problems and mental health problems, and they're not really homeless. And like genuine, just traditional. And I think traditional far-right extreme conspiracy theory views. And I would just love if everybody stopped pretending like this guy was mainstream. He is just a traditional far-right extremist.
Do you know what? I would actually give him his own award.
Yeah.
Political Villain of the Year.
Yes, let's do that straight away.
Yeah.
Political Villain of the Year goes to
Elon Musk for helping Donald Trump win the US election. Okay, Elon, you're off. You're off the list. Okay, finally, Sir Keir Starmer for winning Labour's first general election victory in almost 15 years.
No, the way it's gone since then has been so bad. It's huge. Labour's been out of power for so long.
If no one else was on, none of these other figures were on the list, I would vote for Keir Starmer, but that sounds really obvious, obviously.
Yeah, if no one else was on the list, you'd vote for the only nominee.
Because he did do a remarkable thing.
Yeah, he did. Look, the moment he was elected as Labour leader, we looked so far away from power. And look, I think a lot of it was circumstance, the Tories losing, etc. But he was the, you know. It's like when someone takes a penalty and scores, they still have to score the penalty.
Yes.
So I think it's a huge thing to take Labour to its first general election victory in so long.
I genuinely don't mean this in like a shady way, but for him to do that without being particularly charismatic or particularly great campaigner.
He's done it against the odds with such little skills.
It's pretty extraordinary. Yes.
I think this is an obvious one. It's Gazelle, right?
I think it has to be. Yeah. I think it has to be.
Am I pronouncing that right?
I think it's Gisele Pellico. I think. I think it has to be her because I think the way her story has resonated with women across the world and has made men look at themselves.
Yeah,
I think, and you know, I think it's extraordinary amount of bravery. So I think it's the one that takes the most courage.
The other one that I was thinking about was Alan Bates, because yes. I think that when I learnt about the post office scandal, it's just such injustice. The way that these families and these people's lives were completely ruined, and people knew about it and they buried it and they covered it up.
And his own, you know, he was a victim of this, and through that he found the strength to campaign.
Can we give it to both of them?
I think we can. No, can we? I think we just give it to be honest, we can. Like, who's gonna stop us? Jake's behind a
piece of glass.
Elon can't do anything. Jake says he'll allow it. Shall we give it to Giselle and Alan?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Winner of Political Hero of the Year, Giselle Pellico and Alan Bates. With that, do we want to do a runner-up? If we do, it should probably be the Southport community, right?
Yeah, because I just think... there is such a drive by, like, the momentum behind reform, which admittedly they are, they're surging in the polls, that present a certain vision of the country and the ordinary folk in the country, ordinary folk, I used people like us, that aren't, like, millionaires. And I don't think that's what the country is. That's not what the country is from my experience. And the Southport, that sort of image of them rebuilding Southport was so key, such a encompassing of that.
Okay. So honorary mention for the Southport community.
Right. That's it. I think we're almost out. What you got planned for Christmas?
Oh, you know.
Stuff.
Yeah. What about you?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Food. Gonna cook a goose. Lots of cooking. Do you have any general reflections on 2024? How did it go?
It was big.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened this year.
What about you?
I feel like so much. Like the unexpected element of our show, the sort of unexpected surprises, shocks of the year. I would have never guessed. You know, at the beginning of the year, I was sure that Trump was going to lose. I was sure that Assad was safe in his regime. I was sure that Labour were going to. I wasn't sure that Labour were going to lose an election. Actually, Labour were likely to win an election, but I always had my doubts because I hadn't seen it. Myself, I didn't think reform would be where they are, and now where, you know, Nigel Farage's is odds on, I think, to be the next Prime Minister of the country. Well. And we started the year with Manchester United being shit, and we end the year with Manchester United.
You had to get in that in there, didn't you?
Being shit.
You couldn't just let it go. You couldn't just let it go for Christmas.
It's a huge part of my life. So,
well, I'm looking forward to doing it all again with you next year.
It's going
to
be an amazing, amazing 2025. Merry Christmas, Zoe. I hope you have an amazing Christmas and New Year. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of our amazing team. That's it from the special Christmas episode of Politics Uncensored. Join us every Thursday at 5 p.m. where we unwrap the week's political talking points. You can stay up to date with the show by following at Politics Uncensored UK on social media, where you can find me at Ali Milani UK.
And you can find me at Zoe Grunewald.
If you've missed any of today's show, you can listen back and catch up at FUBARradio.com. All of our 2024 shows are there or on the FUBAR Radio app.
Download it from your app store now.
Thanks for listening. See you next time for another episode of Politics Uncensored.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald. FUBAR Radio.